Where did you go? Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down. Black or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
Okay, Mr. President, it's time for your flattery enema. Open wide.
This was yet another weekend in our manic, head-spinning political era where major news stories were breaking one after another. The Trump era has turned all of us into cats trying to follow multiple laser pointers at once. Stock market, Democratic primary, eclipse.
Last night, he flew 8,000 miles for his first state visit to India.
Thank you for visiting India, President Trump.
It's great to be in a place where the people really get me.
We have much in common.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I am. Hit it, Rajiv.
It's Morty and the Dawn. With the strong man Sean. Let's make it great. Namo and Donnie love to hate.
From the time our eyes first met, our great destiny was set to bring our nations close. And man, I really admire your Muslim band. We both want to fight Beijing, but kind of envy Xi Jinping. Man, who namo tera kai. You have bucks and so do I. It's Morty and the Dawn. With the strong man Sean. Let's make it great. Namo and Donnie love to hate.
Howdy Modi, hi to Chennai. Hello Hyderabad, yes Mumbai. I'm the most Indian guy there is. All my kids stay in the family biz. Your people love me, so I'm told. We share a beautiful love of gold. Now come and join my GOP. It's like another elephant deity. So slap my name on the Taj Mahal. It would be my second Taj Mahal.
Really, I had one before.
It's Morty and the Dawn. With the strong man Sean. Let's make it great. Namo and Donnie love to hate.
The BJP, we love you.
Oh stop, it's just my saffron hue. I see good people on both sides.
Yes, in Gujarat, many died.
So
from the US I once was banned.
But back in Houston we held hands.
Your VP Mikey looked away.
Yes, yes, he thinks holding hands is gay.
It's Morty and the Dawn. With the strong man Sean. Let's make it great. Namo and Danny love to hate.
In fact, the last few days have been so jam-packed, we don't even have time to talk about the super weird fact that on Saturday at the Conservative Political Action Conference, Trump not only hugged but also kissed the American flag while mouthing the words, "I love you, baby." I mean, seriously, what is going on here? If Trump's not careful, he's gonna have to pay hush money to Betsy Ross. This is more intimate than that Lady Gaga-Bradley Cooper performance at last year's Oscars. In fact, just to give you an idea of how much was happening this weekend, the president announced that he had negotiated a peace deal with the Taliban and that wasn't even one of the top news stories. On Saturday, Trump held a press conference that updated the nation on the coronavirus outbreak, but he started by trying to draw attention to the Taliban deal. And look, personally, I am in favor of any attempt to end our longest war and bring our troops home. It's something we should have done a long time ago. But it would be nice to have a president we could trust to coherently explain the details to us. And yet, even when he tried to start the press conference by talking about this Taliban deal, all Trump could do was ramble drowsily like he just woke up from an afternoon nap.
Before we begin, I'd like to congratulate all of those incredible people that have worked for so long on our endless war and will be very much hoping that they will be doing what they say they're going to be doing. They will be killing terrorists. They will be killing some very bad people. And again, it's been a long journey in Afghanistan in particular. But this was a very spirited agreement. There was a lot of talk. I really believe the Taliban wants to do something to show that we're not all wasting time.
You're wasting time! Just tell us what's in the deal. I honestly expected an award show orchestra to start playing him off.
It will be...
So the original point of Saturday's press conference was supposed to be to update Americans on the coronavirus and quell fears about the government's bumbling response because the administration has not been doing a lot to reassure Americans. He put his Vice President Mike Pence in charge of controlling all coronavirus messaging from health officials, and Trump himself dismissed the danger at the White House on Thursday.
We have done an incredible job. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear. Yes. And from our shores, it could get worse before it gets better. It could maybe go away. We'll see what happens. Nobody really knows. The fact is, the greatest experts I've spoken to them all, nobody really knows.
All right, first of all, I doubt you've spoken to all the greatest experts. I can't even begin to imagine a conversation between a scientist and Donald Trump. It would be like watching Bill Gates explain the internet to a dog. Second, it's not reassuring in the midst of a crisis to hear the most powerful man in the world say nobody knows what will happen. It's like hearing your captain say, we're going through some turbulence, we might make it to our destination, but nobody really knows. If we do, it'll be a miracle.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Just because you don't know doesn't mean nobody knows. Yes, there are some unknowns, but there are also experts studying the situation right now and learning things. You should maybe check in with them. Instead, the administration has been busy with other less urgent tasks. Pence, the guy who's supposed to be in charge of all this, spent Friday at a high-dollar fundraiser for Republicans in Florida. And as for the president, and this is real, the Daily Beast reported that on Friday at the White House, Trump spent 45 minutes talking to the lead actors of a low-budget conservative play about the so-called deep state. All right, I have so many questions. First of all, why is Trump meeting with actors in a play? I doubt he's ever sat through a play in his life. He probably went to Hairspray by accident thinking it was a tutorial.
I need to learn how to freeze my hair in place so that it's fully wind-resistant.
Although I will say, judging from this photo, you'd think he was starring in the Broadway adaptation of Beetlejuice. So that's what the president was spending his time doing while he should have been monitoring developments with the coronavirus and coming up with a reassuring government response.
So yesterday, Trump put Mike Pence on the case. The New York Times reported that he said he picked Pence because he has nothing else to do. It's interesting, though, that he picked Pence to handle this, especially because in 2014, Donald Trump tweeted, Obama just appointed an Ebola czar with zero experience in the medical area and zero experience in infectious disease control, a total joke. He really does have there's a tweet for everything. It's almost like Donald Trump from the past is trying to stop Donald Trump in the future. And it's just not working. This is a funny joke, too. Back in May of 2018, to save money, the Trump administration disbanded the U.S. pandemic response team. Although, to be fair, who could have ever seen something like that coming in handy?
Thank you all for coming. I'm Vice President Mike Pence. Most of you know me from the sentence, even if Trump was removed, we'd still be stuck with Mike Pence. President Trump has put me in charge of the coronavirus, even though I don't believe in science. And I have to admit, this disease has been quite a test of my faith, just like dinosaur bones or Timothy Chalamet. But I'm prepared for the challenge. We've assembled a very experienced team of some of the best people left in government. Led by one of the most brilliant minds in medicine, Dr. Ben Carson.
Hello. I'm Ben Carson. You know, the brain surgeon that they put in charge of house development. Well, this is something I actually do know about, and rest assured, in my expert opinion, it's gonna be bad.
Ben, don't say that. I asked you here to put people at ease and educate them about the virus.
Oh, okie dokie, okay. So here's what we know so far. It looks like this. As you can see from his sharp teeth, he's a nasty little thing. He'll bite you.
But don't panic. There are still simple precautions that we can all take, like covering your mouth when you cough, and as always, closing your eyes during intercourse.
Also, we suggest getting these wonderful Make America Great Again masks from the White House website. It may take a couple of months for delivery because they are made in Wuhan, China.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dr. Carson.
Oh, it's bad.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. The important thing is that now is the time for unity and not the time to politicize this issue.
Now he and his allies are attacking Democrats for supposedly politicizing the crisis. At this very moment, healthcare professionals are warning about the lack of widespread accurate testing, with one infectious disease expert calling it a national scandal. And yet Trump and his allies have been attacking Democrats in the media simply for pointing out these very real problems, with Trump himself even calling criticism of his response to the outbreak a hoax.
They are now sadly politicizing and actually weaponizing an infectious disease in what is basically just the latest effort to bludgeon President Trump.
It looks like the coronavirus being weaponized as yet another element to bring down Donald Trump.
The reason you're paying so much attention to it today is that they think this is going to be what brings down the president.
Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. You know that, right? Coronavirus. They tried the impeachment hoax, and this is their new hoax.
A hoax? I think part of the problem here is that Trump only knows, like, five words, and hoax is one of them. His brain is like a Mad Lib with the same word written in for every sentence.
The president is doing everything he can to calm this nation's nerves this morning. He tweeted, "My fellow Americans, while I know this is an uneasy time, trust that your representatives in Washington are working around the clock with the world's best scientists to protect you and your family from this terrible disease. When we band together, we are strong." Oh, he didn't write that? Oh, no, he wrote this. Low ratings, fake news, MSDNC, and CNN are doing everything possible to make the coronavirus, spelled wrong, look as bad as possible, including panicking markets if possible. Likewise, their incompetent do-nothing Democrat comrades are all talk, no action. USA in great shape. He's right. Why is the liberal media only focusing on the negative side of the coronavirus? It's so biased. This is all part of his "if you can't spell it, you can't catch it" campaign. He's especially worried about this, not just because of the stock market, which is key to his reelection, but also because he just realized how hard it will be to eat a bacon cheeseburger through a face mask.
Because the White House's messaging has been all over the place this week. In fact, on Tuesday, the very same day that the CDC said that the spread of coronavirus in the United States was not a question of if, but when, one of Trump's top advisors was on TV saying this.
"We have contained this. We have contained this. I won't say airtight, but pretty close to airtight."
Well, which is it? Because airtight versus close to airtight is a pretty crucial distinction. It's the difference between having a working submarine and a cool metal tube to die in. And the dissonance there speaks to a real problem, because in a global health emergency, you want to hear from the many trained experts who we're lucky enough to have working in our nation's public health agencies. You do not want to hear from politicians. And yet, on Wednesday, the president had a surprise announcement.
President Trump, alongside his top health advisors, sought to calm a nervous nation, naming a new point person to lead the administration's response.
"I'm going to be putting our Vice President Mike Pence in charge, but he's got a certain talent for this."
Does he? Does he, though? Because I was under the impression the only things Pence had a certain talent for were avoiding off-leash women, sucking up to people who represent the antithesis of everything he claims to believe in, and miserably failing at pulling off a haircut known as the Judi Dench. But Pence's, to put it mildly, extremely mixed record as governor of Indiana on managing public health issues. Even the announcement that he would be leading the task force was a debacle, because Alex Azar, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, was already supposed to be chairing that task force, and Trump didn't seem interested in clarifying their roles, or indeed, really being there at all.
Wish him good luck.
Who? Secretary Azar, given Pence's
move.
I think, if I could just clarify, I think you're not getting the point here of this. I'm still chairman of the task force.
You don't feel like you're being replaced.
Not in the least. When this was mentioned to me, I said I was delighted that I get to have the vice president helping in this way. Delighted. Absolutely.
Yeah, he just left. This was a press conference meant to calm the nation. And with the most basic question of who would be running things seemingly up in the air, he just f***ed right off. And look, I know we're used to only seeing businessman Trump, but it is nice to occasionally get a glimpse of the absentee father in him too. It is more than just a lack of leadership. It is also concerning that Trump's main focus when discussing this virus seems to be downplaying any potentially bad news. He started this week tweeting, "The coronavirus is very much under control." But there was no way to be sure of that, as he frankly should have known. Many of the test kits the CDC initially developed to detect the virus apparently didn't work as expected, meaning that as recently as Wednesday, the CDC and only 6 state labs were testing for the virus. Thankfully, that has since been fixed, and we're presumably going to find more cases now. But Trump seemed reluctant to admit that that will happen. In fact, you can watch that dynamic in real time as officials at the press conference say one thing and he tries to massage it into something else.
We can expect to see more cases in the United States.
We do expect more cases.
When you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero, that's a pretty good job we've done.
Yeah, but it won't be close to zero, will it? Your experts just said cases will go up, and you said they will go down. You can't just ignore real numbers and make up ones that you like better. This is the problem with a president whose entire life has been a series of low-stakes lies. A man who has lied about, among other things, his net worth, his apprentice ratings, the number of floors in Trump Tower, the size of Electoral College victory, the attendance at his rallies, whether it rained at his inaugural, and even whether or not he was invited on this very boring and low-rated show. Which he wasn't. He wasn't. It was a lie. But there is a difference between lying about something that means literally nothing and lying about the spread of a deadly disease.
Don't bother to wash your hands. Gay marriage is a sham. The virus has a reason, and it's all part of God's plan. Don't test vaccines on Reese's. Put your faith in Dr. Jesus. We will understand the virus.
So on Saturday, Trump tried to defend his handling of the crisis, and in doing so, he once again lied about the speed of his government's response.
Since the early stages of the foreign outbreak, my administration has taken the most aggressive action in modern history to confront the spread of this disease. We moved very early. Experts now agree that the decision to move so quickly, despite a lot of opposition on that decision, was a wise one. It greatly slowed the spread of the virus to the United States.
No, you didn't move quickly. For one thing, you never move quickly. You lumber around the White House lawn in circles like an only child on an Easter egg hunt by himself. Second, there's new evidence suggesting the virus may have been spreading for weeks, a problem worsened in part by the fact that we haven't had widespread national testing, which would make sense because when reports of the outbreak first began to make news around the world, this is how the president responded.
The virus. They're working hard. Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away. I hope that's true. The coronavirus, that's a new thing that a lot of people are talking about. Hopefully it won't be as bad as some people think it could be. And we think it's going to have a very good ending for us. Hopefully it's all going to be great.
Maybe there's something new, because for 2 days, I haven't been seeing too much of that news.
Now, the virus that we're talking about having to do, you know, a lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat, as the heat comes in. Typically, that will go away in April. We're in great shape, though.
Where did you get this idea that it just goes away in April? Are you confusing it with Lent?
You know, it starts in February, and it usually goes away in April, but you have to give something up to avoid catching it. I'm giving up flag humping.
And yet, of course, somehow the president is not even the dumbest Donald Trump to weigh in on this story, because in case you forgot, there's a second Donald Trump, and he had this truly disgusting thing to say on Friday.
Anything that they can use to try to hurt Trump, they will. For them to try to take a pandemic and seemingly hope that it comes here and kills millions of people so that they could end Donald Trump's streak of winning is a new level of sickness.
Jesus, someone is desperately trying to get their father to love them. I'm doing this so my father will hug and kiss me like that goddamn flag. I'm sorry I don't have stars and stripes, Dad! Sorry! This is the kind of crisis management situation where you want competent, apolitical people in charge. Instead, we have an administration that would rather spend its time raising money, meeting with the actors in a right-wing play, and cuddling with American flags. All we can do for now is stay calm and listen to the advice of healthcare professionals, and as for the Trump administration, just hope that...
It's going to disappear. One day, it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, a fever all through the night.
Fears of coronavirus are running high, and Donald Trump has been encouraging government employees to stay home by firing them for disloyalty. In fact, in the wake of Trump's impeachment acquittal, the White House has created lists of disloyal officials.
I'm making a list, checking it twice. Gonna fire you, then eat a cake slice.
So, to handle the list...
Schumer sent me cheesecake today.
So, to handle the list, Trump recently promoted his personal aide, John McEntee, and instructed him to purge the executive branch of anyone not loyal to Trump. A purge! That sounds like the Soviet Union. Instead of red square, it's orange blob. Now, to help him purge the disloyal, McEntee promptly hired James Bacon, a 23-year-old college senior.
You had me at Bacon.
Now... a college senior. Clearly, as long as you're blindly loyal, Trump doesn't care about age or experience. And here is tell us more about the administration's new hiring and firing policy is White House Management Director Kayla McKenzie. Thank you so much for joining us, Kayla.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.
So, Kayla...
Director McKenzie...
My apologies, Director McKenzie. What do you actually do there at the White House?
My job is to cull the weak, Stephen.
Really? Okay, how old are you?
How dare you ask a woman her age? What else should I expect from fake news CBS? You're just as bad as the Never Trumpers at Nick Jr.
We're ordering a lot of different elements of medical. As you know, they're working as rapidly as they can on a vaccine for the future. And with that, I think I can head out.
You think you can head out? I'm not sure, because you didn't tell us anything. He said, we're ordering different elements of medical, which I guarantee you he thinks is fire, earth, wind, and water. And now, scientists estimate that the mortality rate from the coronavirus is around 2%, which sounds pretty bad, but honestly, if you had given me only a 2% chance of dying during Trump's first term, I would have taken that in a heartbeat.
It is a leap year, as I said. Leap year began in the year 45 BC under Julius Caesar. This is true. He started the leap year in order to correct the calendar, and we still do it to this day. Another thing that happened under Julius Caesar was he was such a powerful maniac that all the senators grabbed knives and they stabbed him to death. That'd be an interesting thing if we brought that back now. I asked my lawyer if I could make that joke, and he said, let me call another lawyer, and that lawyer said yes.
Billions laughed and no one cried the day the policy.
spread worldwide the day the politicians died. It's all one big party now, 'cause all the politicians died.
Thanks for the song this week from the
Puppet Regime, Mudhoney, Peggy, Lee, Louis Armstrong,
the Magnetic
Fields, a Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Richard Nixon, Seth Meyers, Trevor Noah,
Jimmy
Kimmel, Beck Bennett, Keenan Thompson, Colin Jost, Sean Hannity,
Rush
Limbaugh,
Zach,
Oliver
Larry
Kudlow,
the Donald Trump
Jr.
and Zach
Mulaney.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.